Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to say to those who love Him, those who love His Word, those who speak His Word, those who do His Word. They are receptive to the Word of God, the things of God. They want more of it. One scripture said, deep calls to deep, and people who love the ways of God, they are attracted to hear. They are attracted to people that love the Lord. That don't mean intimately, but it's like when somebody preach and they have a relationship with the Lord, or they teach and they have a relationship with the Lord, I'm interested. I want to hear them. I want more. And people who love the Lord, if God used me like a tool in His hand, they want to hear more too. That's how it is. I love God and I love His people and every one of His people. Everybody has a voice in the kingdom of God. But see, among kings, the king had the voice and the people had to listen to him. And so the enemy, being the enemy, that's how he wants things to be. He wanted to be preeminent, and everybody that's like him want to be preeminent. And you see people preaching, that's just order when one man is talking and everybody's listening. But see, that's just to get people jump started. In God's house, everybody has a part to play, a living part to play. Everybody that Jesus taught, He gave them His information. And they went out, those that went out and lived according to His words, like the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain and the Beatitudes, they lived, they absorbed this way of life and they embraced it. And the Jews began to get along with the Samaritans. The Samaritans, who were enemies, began to get along with Jewish people because they embraced what Jesus said. And then they ended up sharing what Jesus said as a way of life over time, over the rest of their life. And they left a strong statement. It changed the culture. See, Satan's ways, it brings down the culture. It makes people fear. And people are proud when they get in charge. Proud people always use fear tactics. Fear is an agent of pride, just like faith is an agent of love. So, I've noticed people that tried to be preeminent, when they take that route, their people become fearful and then arrogant. See, leaven begets leaven, and it's a subtle thing. It destroys the people of God. When leaven is swallowed, accepted, then people, when they trust to operate by it, that's when they have trouble. Everybody that use pride, fear tactics, proud people use fear tactics, and they make themselves look good and make you feel like you need them, or something's going to happen, or God's going to punish those that don't listen to them. Think, whatever it is. They use fear tactics. And I've seen it. I try not to see it. Sometimes, as a pure-hearted person, you don't want to see the negative. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He don't always guide you into something, the truth that you want. All the truth that He guides you to is not delightful, but it's necessary for you to know. And when a brother or sister take the wrong route and they allow preeminence in their culture, in their ways, then that's what they produce. And it's their ways are at war with their anointing. They have an anointing because they were faithful in other ways, but if they allow leaven in their heart or in their mind, and it gets in their ways, and the people, they eat it, they just receive it like soup. When you eat soup, you eat everything in the bowl, and you don't differentiate what's right from what's wrong. But a war exists within the person. That's why people have such, that's one reason they have marital problems. They want to be like Jesus on one hand, and then they want to be like the enemy on the other hand. They have pride problems. And pride wants justice for me. If somebody do me wrong, I got a right to offend just like they offended me. And so when they become fearful in any way, Satan is automatically attached to their life. I've heard women say, I just don't feel like I love my husband anymore. Or I've outgrown him. I just don't feel like I do this. Or I don't feel like I love him anymore. Or if it's the man, she gained too much weight. You know, or she need to gain more weight. Whatever. They don't love people for who they are. They never adopted fully the ways of God. See, Jesus loves you for you, not what you can do for him. God loves you for you, not what you can do for him, not how wonderful you perform. But see, so many people have, you know, if a man or woman of God, that's, they have an anointing, but they love preeminence. And they cater to those that tithe. those that tithe big. The message that they're sending out is, you're valuable because of what you do. Now, what gets in the heart, hear me good. I want you to understand, because I'm saying things that's very important. When things get in the heart, that's the way it's coming up, and that's the way it's coming out. If you value people, see, I say these things because the proud mind uses fear tactics. Always did, always will. When I remember when the Lord told me about Job, I had to preach that week somewhere. And the Lord gave me that revelation about Job, you know. And he told me how Satan thought. He said, Job loved God. He feared God, but he also greatly feared evil. And the Lord told me that Satan thought Job feared judgment. And the Lord said, but Job feared God. But he also greatly feared evil, which opened the door for Satan to tempt him or to hurt him with what he feared. See, Job 3 and the end of chapter 3, verse 25, Job said, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me. Then he said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Well, when you're in fear, trouble is going to come. People who have a proud mind, they always use fear tactics to get what they want. And they depend on others. They're not complete in Christ because they have pride in their heart or their mind. They're not complete in Christ because they do things based, that the things that they do is pride based. I've seen it too many ways. When I saw preachers acting like this, I actually tried to not see it. But it was obvious. The Lord let me walk right into it. Because if he would have told me what to watch out for, I would have thought it was the enemy, because I didn't think that way. The Lord let me walk right into it. He let me walk right into Cain's jealousy, just like others. The only reason I'm bringing these things up, because the enemy is subtle in his ways, and he's been robbing the church. I've seen great moves of God come to nothing because of these things. And who do you talk to about it? Who will listen? Only people that really want to know God will hear what God has to say. When the Holy Spirit speaks, and I've noticed this, I've witnessed it so many ways, only the people who really have a passion for the things of God will yield to the Holy Spirit and hear what he has to say. People that think preeminent, they're going to discount it just like that. Just at the snap of a finger, they don't want to hear it. People who like Diotrephes. Could you imagine somebody like Diotrephes? John wrote about him. He didn't want John around because he loved preeminence. The Pharisees didn't want Jesus around because they loved preeminence. Herod killed John because he loved power. He loved his rogue relationship more than God. He did what he knew was wrong. He cowered down to the ways of preeminence. The Lord told us, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and also the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod. Leaven works, folks. It does a job for Satan. So people who have, if they don't, see, the people of God, they love unconditionally. They love their spouse like God loves them, not what they can do for them. If a man really loves his wife, see, the way a person looks can change real quick. All it takes is an accident, an auto wreck, a stroke, and things change quick, health problems. But those that really love their wife, they are there for them, and they care about them. They that really love their husband, they are there for them, no matter what. How many military people personally have come home with a missing limb, a missing eye, post-traumatic stress syndrome? So those things are terrible, but they have loving spouses. Some of them have loving spouses that stick with them and see them through. And they come back. They come back to balance because they have somebody that's there for them. Now, when there are people of God, when God has people that really love him and they go to bat for people, they help the people of God grow up. They love the people, not what they can do for them, but they love them because they love people like God loves them. They don't use fear tactics because their heart is pure. And also, they're complete in Jesus. They don't need people to prop up their success. But a proud man, he's got to have everything shiny, everything new, everything got to be in order. That because his stage is more important in his mind or her mind than the people of God. And they try to lord over God's people. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, acting like the people that's bought by the blood of Jesus is their puppets. But see, when you have preeminence, the leaven of it, it just flows right into the hearts of the people. Except for those who really love God. People that's complete in Jesus, they can see straight through it. And because it's wrong, the devil see, know that he can't see. When you have an assembly and you have a man or a woman of pride in place, people that don't worship them, they know, they're notable. They're noticed. They're going to get the left foot of fellowship because when you're complete in Christ, you don't need props and crutches. You don't need people the same way. You love people because you love God. You love even people that's not right. You love them too. But you don't, if they kick you out, you don't care, because, I mean, you get your, you're supplied by Christ. You're complete in Jesus. You don't need approval of man. And when you don't need people's approval, you act like it. And when you act like it, people will say, well, you're just a rebel. Because you don't need me. And you act like you don't need me. You act like I'm not above you. I don't even like talking about stuff like this. But this is what I've experienced. This is what the Holy Spirit helped me. This is why revival couldn't come through certain ministries. It's because of the ways of the people. Now, I watched a YouTube video. And every child of God need to watch this one. This really, I love God. I didn't adopt those evil ways. But when I saw the Ugandan pastor, it's still on YouTube. And every child of God need to watch the whole thing. Two or three times. Everybody need to see what God told the Ugandan pastor. He tried to repent from a sin. The Lord told him, he said, if I came back to take my bride, I'd have left you. He said, what did I do? He was looking for a sin he could repent of. But if you watch the whole thing, the Lord showed him himself. He said, it's not just a D, it's your ways. It's your ways, the way you are, the way he processed. I said, whoa, I've seen a lot of that in my life. It's the way he said he would undress women within his mind. Now, he didn't sin, but it's a lot of things he did and there's a lot of things people are doing. A little leaven leavens the lump. You cannot forget that. You got to stay pure in your heart. You got to know that Jesus is your source. You got to love God and his people. You got to love his ways, his word. I want to share something. This is a good place to do it. The Lord talked to me about a vision. This little writing I wrote is very powerful. It says, to finish a vision of the Lord. That's the title. To finish a vision of the Lord. Then it goes down. You must. And then I list seven things you must do. The first one, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. You got to believe in what you're doing. Believe God, honoring him by your faith. You must love God more than the vision. When God give you a vision to perform, to do, he give you an assignment. You got to love him more than that vision. The third one, you must trust the Lord completely throughout the process. You must trust the Lord completely throughout the process. These are things you got to continue to do. You don't just, hey, I did this one, I'll scratch it off. No, you continue to do all of them until the whole thing is done. The fourth one, you must hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief, because Satan is going to use voices to cause you to change your course, change your focus, so that the vision can't be what God intended. So the fourth one is to hear God out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. I've seen so many things change. How many pastors, they have a godly idea, a godly direction. And when they talk about it with their staff or the board of directors or the deacon board, people without praying one small prayer, they tell them it won't work and how to do it better. They hadn't prayed. They hadn't sought the Lord. They just started spewing out advice. Just like a serpent spew out venom. And then people, I've seen churches divide over minor things, and the Lord was about to move mightily, and they get in a conflict. Some people leave. Pride. It's just like a cue ball on a pool table. If you don't get it out of your system. See, proud people, they want what they want. They don't love unconditionally. They love conditionally. If you love me, I love you. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. That's not the love of God. That's the love of the Pharisee. That's the leaven of the Pharisee too. And it can even turn into forms of witchcraft. People hold each other back in a couple, trying to make somebody do their will. Or people don't pay tithes when they don't hear the message they want. You know, that's darkness. But it's there. But see, when people won't do what they're supposed to, you continue to do things God's way. That's why it takes hearing God out to do something like that. You got to hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. When immature people throw temper tantrums, you just steady follow God. Do it his way. The fifth thing, you must enjoy God's presence. You know, I remember being in a church. People try to coerce you. Smaller churches, you know, anytime people try to coerce you into doing all the things they want you to do. And every message is about performance. And if you buy into that, you're going to get burnt out, because there's only so much you can do in a week when you have a family, you got to work. You can't be in two places at once. And you can't just perform all the time. And when people are putting pressure on you to do that, and you want to serve God, and you want to do all that's in his heart, but you have to do what the protocol that God gives you personally for things to work right. Now, I noticed something about the Lord. He'll give me a season of learning. Then he used to give me a season of ministry to share what I learned. Then he'll give me a season of rest. And then he'll give me another season of learning. But when I work with other ministries, you start out doing things aggressively, trying to help the church, trying to, do things, with excellence, of course. But when it gets to be a hassle, you can actually burn out. And see, when you do that, Jesus said something, and I mentioned it in Sunday school. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That's why the fifth thing was enjoy his presence. Enjoy God's presence. You must enjoy God's presence. And one day I said, wait a minute. I've been letting people put pressure on me to do this and that. And I've been putting pressure on myself to do the things of God. And I decided, I made a quality decision in one moment. I said, I'll never put ministry ahead of the Lord again. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to enjoy his presence and go forward. You know, I had to make such a decision because if I'm in God's presence, I can always be appropriate. But if I'm bombarded, if I'm burnt out, I might make a decision that's not good. And it can cost not only me, the ministry, things that it shouldn't have to deal with. See, people, when they don't live in God's presence, they make choices. Every day you make hundreds of choices. Before the week's out, you've possibly made thousands of choices. What if all those choices was in, you included the Holy Spirit? Just like he told me, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Okay, you can be so busy trying to and proud people will oblige you with something to do to make them look good without the passion of the Lord on the people. And you're doing it in the name of the Lord, but they want to have a fantastic ministry. and they put pressure on you. But God don't put pressure on you. Even when he show you an urgency, there's a peace. When the Lord wake me up and have me praying for people or nations or whatever he's got me praying for, I'm doing it from a victor's perspective. I'm victorious. And I'm using the authority he gave me to help somebody or to help his people. And I'm in the realm of his presence. He's guiding me. He's giving me what I need. He's supplying me with how to do it. But see, when people are driven by pride, they're actually driven by Satan. And you can easily get burnt out trying to help somebody perform their pride. The only way to stay in balance is to, I said, ministry is going to always be ministry. But I'm not going to allow my relationship with the Lord to be secondary to no ministry, not to my ministry or anybody else's ministry. But if I'm in the presence of the Lord, then I can help them appropriately in God's eyes. In man's eyes, I can't always help how they see things, but I can, and my expectations, I don't have all the information that the Holy Spirit has. I had to get on board with what he was doing. I evaluated people that were doing wrong things. I couldn't see what God saw. It took me years to realize what God was doing. See, I'm saying these things because nowadays, God is using people who really love him, who have his passion, who have the love of God, that agape love of Jesus toward people. I don't want you to let that get lost. You have a mind. Anybody listening to this broadcast, you're doing it because God led you here. And you're motivated because you're hearing things that's going to help you help others. And you're interested. You have that agape love in you. You got to protect it. Stay in God's presence. Don't try to do it alone, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. Don't try to serve other people's pride. You know, stay steady. Don't fear things. Job got in trouble because he said the things I greatly feared have come upon me. When you feel fearful, that don't come from God. Who's causing you to feel unworthy? So I don't care who it is, men, women of God that they allowed the enemy to sidetrack them. No, stand your ground, enjoy God's presence, and handle everything God's way. When you reply to them for something, do it in God's love, without fear. See, the Lord always kept me in balance. He helped me to, you know, I remember that word from long ago. When the Lord told me what he told me about Job, I went through a Taco Bell line. And I wrote this statement on a Taco Bell bag. I still got it somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I got it among my stuff. It's probably in one of my notebooks. But I'll never forget that word. But enjoy his presence. That was the fifth thing you must do to finish up the vision of the Lord. This is something you do as a way of life. All of these statements you do as a way of life. Number six, receive revelation from him. When God gives you revelation, receive it. Don't let it slip. You know, I think it was Hebrews or Romans. Hebrews said, we must take heed to the things we've heard, for at any time we can let them slip. Don't let things slip. Receive revelation from him. Because people learn slow. They learn precept upon precept, line upon line. You got to be patient with God's people. So if you thought that you were going to get all these people in the kingdom of God and then they were going to just automatically fall in place, you got to work with people. But people need godly guidance, and God is raising up people to help people. So you got to do it God's way. So receive revelation from him. You must do this to finish the vision. Then the last thing was contend for the faith. You must contend for the faith. Don't let problems dictate to you. Contend for the faith. See it through with patience, protecting your dedication. You don't have to protect. You don't have to make people do things your way, but you do have to protect your own dedication. Because if that can't be robbed, you'll always have it. And you'll always be able to help other people. You must, to finish the vision of the Lord, you must contend for the faith, see it through with patience, protecting your dedication. It takes time. The last thing I wrote was a statement about all this. It says, many Christians allow their vision to die because they do not do these things. These things you must do as a way of life. Now, the people that hear you, God, the Lord promised Jeremiah and also Ezekiel and I think also Isaiah that he would raise up pastors. See, he always have in every generation, but now more than ever, because he's reaping the last of the last, he's reaping the harvest. The rapture hadn't happened yet, so it's about to, he's reaping people. The fullness of the Gentiles are going to come in. So we must be on our A game. And the Lord's going to anoint us and help us. So you have to understand that there are many wolves out there that people have been hurt by. But you're going to make the difference. You're going to love God's people like Jesus loved you and not be sidetracked by the foolishness of man. Because the dedication of the devil tried to get in the church. And we're going to expose it for what it is. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your